Coming up on Locked On Dodgers, the Dodgers signed a starting pitcher, but maybe not the one you were hoping they would. The finalists for all the postseason awards were announced, and we'll get to a couple more listener questions. A lot to get to, so let's get Locked On Dodgers.
You are Locked On Dodgers, your daily Los Angeles Dodgers podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Hello, Dodger fans. I am Jeff Snyder of Baseball Essential, and this is Locked On Dodgers, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day. Vince is at the Laker game on Monday night, so we are doing a split episode, so he will be with you for the second half of this show. Thank you for making Locked On Dodgers your first listen every day. Remember, this show is free and available on all podcast platforms and on YouTube simply by searching for Locked On Dodgers. This is the daily podcast covering the Los Angeles Dodgers, bringing you the smart fans' perspective on our boys in blue. And my little notes that I read when I'm doing the intro still say world champion Los Angeles Dodgers, because while I have stopped saying it on the show, I can't bring myself to delete the words. So I am in a bit of denial right now. Hopefully the Dodgers in a little less than a year will go back to being the reigning World Series champs, and I can go back to saying that on the podcast. But for now, they're just the Dodgers. They're still the best team in the baseball. The best team in baseball. We're all still lucky to be Dodger fans. So, you know, we'll take it. So we're going to talk Dodgers today. Some actual news, some offseason news. The Dodgers signed Andrew Haney. I'm not going to talk much about that. Vince is going to cover that in his half of the episode, partly because I talked about it yesterday on my solo episode about the idea of them possibly signing him. And so now that it's happened, he can dig more into that. I don't want to repeat myself too much. So I'm going to talk a little bit about the postseason awards that were the, what they call finalists. Really what it means is they've already done the voting and counted the votes, and the top three vote getters are announced today. And then in a week and a half, they'll announce who actually won the awards. So it's a way of drying out the tension or drama or excitement or whatever emotion you associate with postseason awards. So all that stuff was announced today. We're not going to talk about all of them. We're only going to talk about the ones that affect the Dodgers. And really, that's only the National League Cy Young Award voting. Max Scherzer is a finalist for the Cy Young Award. No other Dodgers are. Walker Buehler and Julio Urias were potentials. But Walker Buehler, or Max Scherzer, is the only one who is in the top three. I think that pretty much guarantees Walker Buehler is finishing fourth in the voting. And so we'll see what happens. You know, Julio will finish fifth or sixth or seventh, somewhere in that ballpark, probably. But we know that Scherzer will be somewhere between first and third, and hopefully he'll be first. The other two finalists are who we expected, Corbin Burnes and Zach Wheeler. You know, those guys, those three and Buehler were kind of lumped together. And I want to jump into, I got a question from my friend and our loyal listener, Heather Jensen. She is awesome. By the way, Heather just ran the New York City Marathon on Sunday. So congratulations to Heather. I told her I was planning on running that one, but then I accidentally spent most of the last 44 years doing the opposite of training for a marathon. So I didn't run it this year, but you know, maybe next year, who knows? I think we all know, but Heather said, "Hey Jeff, I hope you're well." Well, thanks Heather. I am well. She said, "Does it seem like the Dodgers got shut out of a lot of categories for awards? I don't get it. Is there such a thing as a World Series champs backlash where the winner from the previous year performs as well yet sees a drop in recognition?" And then she said, "Also, why no Buehler or Julio in the finalists? Corbin Burnes was bad in August, just like Walker was in September." She thinks that Walker and Julio both got snubbed. And, you know, that's the first question is really interesting. You know, the World Series champs backlash. I don't think that's it. Honestly, I think the Dodgers this year were just a well-rounded team that, you know, if you think about, you know, Mookie was a MVP finalist last year. He had a solid year, but kind of subpar by Mookie standards this year. So it's not like he got snubbed. Bellinger, former MVP, he was hurt most of the season. Seager, MVP talent, he was hurt for a lot of the season. You know, Justin Turner had a good season for Justin Turner, but not what anybody would call an MVP season. Really, Max Muncy is the only guy who you would put in the conversation, But then he really, really struggled the last month or month and a half of the season and kind of dropped himself out of contention for the MVP. And so the fact that the Dodgers don't have any MVP finalists, it feels about right to me. The guys who are in the finalists, Bryce Harper, Juan Soto, and Fernando Tatis Jr., all make sense. You know, you could make arguments for a couple other guys, you know, replacing those guys. You know, if Muncy had been one of the three, I could see somebody voting for Muncy for third place of the MVP, but you know, I don't think the Dodgers had any legitimate snubs there in MVP. You know, we'll get to Cy Young last. Rookie of the year, Dodgers had some rookies who were good. You know, Alex Vesia and Phil Bickford, I think were both technically rookies, but relief pitchers almost never win rookie of the year. You have to generally be a closer if you're going to do that. And, you know, there were some decent rookies of the year or rookies in the National League. So there's not really any snubs there. Manager of the year, I honestly believe that Dave Roberts probably – you know, there's so much narrative involved. And so you've got Mike Shildt, whose team won a bunch of games in a row to make it to the playoffs after being lousy. Mike Shildt got fired from his job. I tend to think that that probably says more. Not, it doesn't always, but in this case, I think that says more about him than the fact that he got some votes for Manager of the Year. Gabe Kapler is obviously going to win the Manager of the Year award. So it doesn't really matter who finishes second and third. It's going to be Shildt and Craig Counsell finishing second and third in some order. I think Dave Roberts probably deserved it more than either of those guys with what the Dodgers went through injury-wise and to still win 106 games. You know, Dave Roberts, but, you know, Manager of the Year is such a – really all that means is what team had exceeded expectations, you know. And the Dodgers didn't exceed expectations really – from what their preseason expectations were, people expected them to be a very good team, and they were. You know, the fact that they had a bunch of injuries and had to do it in an unconventional way, you know, he wasn't going to beat out Gabe Kapler, whose team exceeded their expectations by like 30 games. So it doesn't really matter that he's not one of the finalists. I'm sure he got some down ballot votes. He's probably fourth or fifth, whatever. And then the last one is the Cy Young balloting, which Heather asked about. And for me, I think you can make a really good case for Scherzer, Burns, Wheeler, and Buehler. I think different voters could all intelligently do their research and come to the conclusion that any one of those four guys deserves the Cy Young Award. I think probably it's probably the correct conclusion to say that Scherzer is a little more deserving than Buehler. And so then once you've done that, once you said, okay, Scherzer, it's kind of, even though it doesn't make sense, it really should be, okay, who are the best, you know, the ballot has, if you're voting for three guys for Cy Young, it should be, who do you think were the three best pitchers in the league? But I could see where you say, okay, you know, Buehler was the second best on his own team, so I'm not going to bother voting for him in one of these slots. So, you know, that's what they talk about sometimes is splitting the vote. I think probably Scherzer and Buehler split the vote a little bit, and I think most of the voters probably came to the conclusion that Scherzer was a little bit better than Buehler. The question is, did they split the vote so much that Scherzer won't win it? I think you can make a case that he deserves to win it, but I don't think it'll be a travesty if Corbin Burns wins or if Zach Wheeler wins, because they were both very, very good this year too. As for Julio, he didn't get snubbed. He won 20 games, but that was it. Julio was, you know, one of the 10 best pitchers in the league this year, probably, and he'll probably finish, like I said, fourth, you know, fifth or sixth or seventh or something in the Cy Young voting, and that's probably where he should be. So I'm not upset about either of those. I think they're, if Julio not being a finalist is correct, and Buehler not being a finalist isn't actively incorrect, I guess is the way I'd put it. So that's kind of my thoughts on the postseason awards, the finalists announced. I think in, like I said, about a week and a half, they'll have that week where they start announcing all the winners for all those things. So I'm going to come back in just a minute, and I'm going to answer another listener question about how the Dodgers are going to go about acquiring starting pitching this offseason. So keep it locked on, Dodgers. We're back and better than ever. A new web interface for the start of the basketball season and more props, odds, and lines than ever before. BetOnline remains your number one spot for all the basketball and football action this season. Head to our new updated desktop or mobile website to sign up today and receive your 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit. Just use our promo code LOCKEDON to receive your bonus. From basketball, football, baseball, postseason, NHL, boxing, and UFC, right to your favorite Vegas casino games, don't wait to take advantage of all the amazing offers available for the 2021 season. BetOnline is the fastest and easiest way to bet all your favorite sports. BetOnline, where the game starts. All right, I am back, and I want to thank you again for making Locked On Dodgers your first listen every day. We love talking Dodgers with you, and we hope you love listening to us talk Dodgers. We have gotten a lot of listener interaction on social media, through email, everything. We love that, so feel free to reach out to us anytime. Vince will give you all those details at the end of the episode, but thank you for making us your first listen every day. I want to jump in on a question from our buddy Brandon Johnson at BrandonJohn442 on Twitter. Did I get that right? I did. I can't even see. It cuts off, but I know Brandon's handle so well. He says, this offseason, the Dodgers need to acquire or sign at least two or three starters probably. Are they more likely to do so through signings or trades, or the obvious answer of a combo of both? He sent this a little bit before the Dodgers signing of Andrew Haney was announced, and so obviously they're going at least some the free agent route. But it is a really interesting question, and I, you know, yesterday's episode I talked about some potential free agent target pitchers for the Dodgers. You know, I talked about Carlos Rodon, I talked about John Gray, but then there's also some interesting trade targets. The Marlins probably have too many starting pitchers, and so, you know, they've got, you know, if a guy like Sandy Alcantara was, you know, getting closer to free agency and they wanted to trade him, I'd be totally in on the Dodgers being interested in him. If the Reds decided to trade Luis Castillo or Sonny Gray, you know, we saw the Reds just decline the option on Wade Miley for $10 million. And so it's like, you know, maybe the Reds are planning on rebuilding. And so if they were interested in trading Luis Castillo and or Sonny Gray, I'd be interested in both of those guys. Castillo more than Gray, just for youth reasons and overall stuff reasons. But Sonny Gray has been very good. So, you know, we'll see what happens with the trade market. But there could be some decent starting pitching available on the trade market. And then, you know, obviously, like I said yesterday, two of the biggest free agent starting pitchers happen to be guys who were on the Dodgers last year, Clayton Kershaw and Max Scherzer. And, you know, Kershaw is more a sentimental pick, but when he's healthy, he's still very good. The question is he going to be healthy? It's kind of funny to see the different guesses that people have on what kind of contract Kershaw is going to get. And obviously ending the season injured with that big question mark, it's tough to say, but you know, that will determine some things, but the Dodgers are going to bring back Kershaw if he wants to come back. And so, you know, with they've added Andrew Haney, who's really a fifth starter, kind of a reclamation project. You know, they've got Clayton Kershaw hopefully coming back. And then Scherzer's a big question mark. You know, Justin Verlander is a free agent. That would be an interesting one. There was a good article, Aaron Gleeman on The Athletic listed his top 25 free agent pitchers. And, you know, so there's some decent arms available on the free agent market. And so I do think that free agency, to answer Brandon's question directly, I think free agency will be the primary mode of adding starting pitching for the Dodgers. But I think they're definitely going to be involved if some of these names become available in trades. The reason that free agency is kind of the default is because we know who's available via free agency right now, and we don't know who's going to be available by trade. And so at this point in the offseason 2 years ago, we didn't know that Mookie Betts was actually going to be available. There were rumblings that he might be, but we didn't know that, you know. And so there could be some big name pitchers traded this offseason that right now we don't even have an inkling that they're available. And so I think they have to go into the offseason targeting free agency and then kind of be open to trades if that comes up, which maybe is a cop-out answer. No more of a cop-out answer than Brandon's, you know, combo of both. So I guess, Brandon, you and I are both cop-out answer guys. But I do think that's probably the approach that they are taking. So I think that's going to about do it for me. Like I said, Vince will come along. He will talk more about the Andrew Haney signing. And I assume it's Haney and not Heaney. I don't know. It's something I should have looked up before I started recording, or at least before I started saying his name. But this is 2 days in a row that I've said Haney. And so I'm going to stick with Haney. And if I'm wrong, maybe he'll correct me on the podcast like Matt Beatty did one time when I accidentally called him Matt Beatty when he was a guest on the podcast. And he yelled at me and cussed me out. No, he was very nice about it. Yeah, whatever that guy's name is, Vince is going to talk about that. He may, depending on how long that goes, he may grab another question or two from our question bin from the questions we've gotten from you listeners. So thank you for, feel free to keep submitting those questions through social media, through email, through voicemail or text message or whatever. Like I said, at the end of the episode, Vince will give you all that info if you don't know it. And that's about it for me. Thanks for making Locked On Dodgers your first listen every day. We love talking Dodgers with you. And Vince will be along in a minute.
Yo, yo, yo. Vince Samperio, Chavez Ravine Fiends here to close out the episode. Before we head into the break, just one other bit of Dodger news that we got on Monday is that Corey Seager is planning to decline the qualifying offer from the Dodgers. I wouldn't necessarily categorize it as news, I guess. It was more of a formality. We knew that Corey Seager wasn't going to accept the qualifying offer. He's going to go sign a multi-year, probably multi-hundred million dollar contract somewhere, maybe with the Dodgers, maybe not, but it was, yeah, expected and nothing to really read into. Chris Taylor was the more intrigue in terms of would he accept, would he not. $18 million for 1 year, that's a nice little hefty payday for 1 year, and if he has another good year, he could still probably get a similar contract, you know, 2 to 3 years next offseason, if that was the case. But if, you know, who knows, he might have some 3-4 year deals that people have reached out to him about. You know, maybe he wants to take the security of the 18 mil before the CBA stuff. I don't know. That's where the intrigue comes in, and I believe he has till Sunday to decide, I think. But either way, yeah, Corey Seager rejected it. No surprise there. I wouldn't read into it at all. He still could return to the Dodgers and not be an issue at all. Around the league so far, Nick Castellanos rejected his qualifying offer. Michael Conforto rejected his qualifying offer. I don't expect the Dodgers to be in on Conforto, but, you know, there might be a world where they are in on Castellanos. So just maybe keep an eye on him. And that's all we got from the qualifying offers. So we're going to come back. I'm going to talk about the Andrew Heaney signing. Looked it up for you, Jeff. It's Heaney. And close out the episode. So make sure to keep it Locked On Dodgers. Thanks for making Locked On Dodgers your first listen every morning. We are free and available on all platforms and on YouTube. So make sure to check us out. All right. So the Dodgers started free agency and signed Andrew Heaney to a one-year deal worth $8.5 million. And I saw some mixed reactions on Twitter, and I did tweet out that it seems like Dodgers Twitter just never changes. You know, this one was a lot less wild than I've seen before, but, you know, the Dodgers signed a minor player slash role player slash depth player, and then Dodgers Twitter acts as if, like, that's the only signing the Dodgers are allowed to make, so they overreact a little bit. And then it all happens every year, cycle in and out over and over. But either way, Andrew Heaney, I mean, he's not necessarily a depth signing at the moment. Yes, he would be in the Dodgers rotation. But I don't expect that, you know, I expect him to maybe still be in the Dodgers rotation, but I don't expect him to be the number three starter in that rotation. So he's a guy who has good stuff. I mean, he was a highly touted prospect back in the day. You know, the Dodgers had him for a little bit, traded him for Howie Kendrick. He went to Anaheim, and he was okay for the Angels. You know, just kind of one of those guys, an innings eater type, a decent pitcher, a number 4 or 5 starter. Although, unfortunately for the Angels, he was their, like, number 1, 2, 3 starter over there because they never have any pitching. But with the Dodgers, probably going to be a number 4 or 5, maybe even a number 6 type starting pitcher. And here's the thing that, you know, a lot of Yankee fans, because he was really bad with the Yankees, were like, oh, you know, good job, Dodgers, or congrats, Dodgers, or, you know, you're more than welcome to have them, Dodgers. And then Angel fans, you know, kind of the same, they're like, oh, whatever. But for me, it's like, how many times has a player come to the Dodgers and become worse? Not that often. I don't, you know, it's very rare that a guy comes in and is completely worse than what he was before. And the Dodgers, I'm not going to say, you know, that Yankees and Angels and their pitching staff or coaching staffs and pitching coaches and analytics departments aren't as good as the Dodgers. Actually, I'm going to say that they aren't as good as the Dodgers. You know, we've seen the Yankees aren't known for making pitchers like better. The Angels definitely aren't known for making pitchers better. The Dodgers are. And the Dodgers, you know, there has been a lot of pitchers that have come to LA and been better than they were before. Whether it's pitch usage, you know, Dodgers switch up their pitch usage, what pitches they want to use, either take one out and focus on two or throw one a little bit more, whatever the case is. It's, you know, sequencing, when you throw your pitches, how you throw your pitches, and what counts and what situations. And then, you know, just maybe some minor tweaks here and there mechanically. Usually probably it's not mechanically. Usually it's more of the other thing with pitch usage and sequencing. But, you know, I'm excited to see what they can do. Heaney's had he strikes out a lot of guys. He doesn't walk a lot of guys. Last year he was susceptible to the home run. At Dodger Stadium, that's not as big a deal. Dodger Stadium has become a little bit more home run friendly the last few years. But still, when you're playing Dodger Stadium, Oracle Park, Petco Park, and well, not Arizona and Colorado. But when you're playing those three parks for, what, 80 plus 20 plus 20, 120 out of 160 games, that's not too bad. You know, you're not going to even if you are susceptible to the home run, there's not going to be as many home runs in those parks. So that's a good sign. I saw something with, you know, there's a lot of people, smarter people than me, coming out and talking about the Heaney signing. And one of them said that it was Will Hofer at Hofer Baseball. Says Heaney's big standout quality is the ability to generate a ton of arm side run on his fastball and changeup. So if that lateral slider is as teachable as the Dodgers believe it to be, watch out. And that's what I'm saying. You know, it's whether it's adding a pitch or I don't know if he has a slider already, but if it's something that's, you know, they can just teach him real quick, you know, add a little pitch here and there, then, you know, it's going to benefit the Dodgers a lot. And he's going to be a guy that they don't need him to be a Cy Young candidate. They're going to need him to be a guy that gives you 25, 30 starts and around maybe 3.54 ERA and just gives you a chance to win every time out and gives you, you know, like I said, I don't want to say it's a depth. It's a depth. Okay, he did have a slider early in his career, but he doesn't have a slider now. Right now he has fastball, curveball, changeup. So maybe they bring that slider back if that's the case. But either way, it's a matter of, you know, if Andrew Heaney's starting game three of a potential NLDS or NLCS next year, maybe something went wrong. But also, we just saw the NLCS where the Dodgers only had two and a half starting pitchers. You know, Max Scherzer pitched in the first series but wasn't able to pitch much in the NLCS or pitch effectively. They had Walker Buehler, who just, you know, wasn't quite what Walker Buehler, the standards we expect. Julio, you know, same thing, wasn't quite what we expect out of Julio. And they just ran out of pitching, you know. And Tony Gonsolin, we're not sure what they're going to get out of him. You know, he could revert back to 2020 form and be really good. He could – I mean, he wasn't bad in 2021, but he just – through injuries and never really got it going. He never was really – able to be counting on as a starting pitcher going 5-6 innings. He was more of a 3-4 inning type of guy. And then David Price, you know, I think David Price might get traded this offseason, but that remains to be seen. Either way, he's not going to be counted on to be a major contributor to the rotation. So, you know, you need guys like Andrew Heaney. And I was joking around with my brother and my dad just saying, you know, they should sign like 10 guys like this, like 10 guys to $5 to $10 million deals and see what happens, take flyers and you know, see how it goes. We saw the Giants not to that extent, but they had a bunch of guys on 1 year deals last year, you know, DeSclafani and Gausman and Alex Wood and well, Cueto wasn't on a 1 year deal, but they didn't bring him back for next season. But you go see what you can do. If you trust your coaching staff to make somebody better, and you trust, you know, everything else around you, your defense, which needs to be shored up, but you trust your defense, you trust everything else, why not go get a guy and see what he can do, and you know, he can provide you some innings. And if Andrew Heaney can give the Dodgers 150 plus innings next year at around a 3.54 ERA, that's exactly what they're going to get. Their money's worth $8 million right there, and save some other arms. You know, I think Jeff mentioned it on one of the episodes about maybe going to a six-man rotation next year. And depending who they sign here in the offseason to be in that rotation, it's very possible they do that. You know, we it would hurt. The only thing it would hurt is Walker Buehler and Julio and anybody else's maybe Cy Young chances, because they wouldn't get 30 starts and maybe get 20 to 25 starts. But no, sorry, realistically, at the end of the day, Cy Youngs don't mean too much, and World Series championships do. And if you can head into the postseason with these guys a little bit fresher than they were this past year, that's going to be a benefit all around. So don't think of Andrew Heaney as I don't know why people were throwing this around, but don't think of Andrew Heaney as, oh, they're not getting Kershaw, or they're not getting Scherzer, or they're not getting somebody else that's a free agent. Andrew Heaney is going to be the 4, 5, 6 starting pitcher, maybe even less depending, or maybe even lower depending how this offseason goes, and he might not be a factor. And the other part, which we haven't talked about, which I don't think is the case, but there's always a possibility that they think of him as a multi-inning reliever, like a, you know, I don't want to say Josh Hader type, because he's probably not as good as Josh Hader, but a Josh Hader type where he's throwing multiple innings, two innings, you know, two times a week or whatever the case is out of the bullpen. So that's a distinct possibility. That would mean that they get a lot more starting pitching in the offseason and this winter, but it's still a possibility. So he's a guy who could fill a variety of roles. Maybe I don't know if he's going to have a press conference or anything. I don't think he's that big a signing, but that would be one of the questions I'd want to ask is, did the Dodgers offer you a starting, you know, starting rotation spot, or did they just sign you and figure it out? And we're just going to have to wait and see. So that's going to do it for today's episode. Thank you all for listening. Thank you for making us your first listen every morning. We are Locked On Dodgers. We are on all audio platforms, wherever podcasts are found, and we're on YouTube, so make sure to check us out. We'll be back tomorrow. Unless the Dodgers make any more signings, we'll be back tomorrow answering more of your questions and seeing if anything else happened around the league. Now make your second listen, Locked On MLB Prospects, with host Aram Layton. He's a prospect encyclopedia, and he's going deep on the MLB stars of tomorrow. It's also free and available on all platforms. That's going to do it for us. Thank you for listening. Thank you for following along. We really appreciate it. Thank you for sticking around. If you have stuck around this offseason, I know it's tough after the Dodgers lose to think about the Dodgers, but you know, even if you took a week or two off, you know, Jeff and I have been out of sync schedule-wise the last couple weeks, but we're still here every weekday morning. We're still back in action every day, and we're still here to bring you Dodger talk whenever you need it. You can follow us on social media, Twitter and Instagram, at Locked On Dodgers. On Twitter, Jeff is at Snydog, and I'm at Vince Samperio. The DMs are open on all those accounts if you want to get a hold of us, ask us a question, comment, concern, whatever the case is. You can also leave us a voicemail or send us a text at 323-863-5625. That's always there for you. Or there's an email, lockedondodgers@gmail.com. We're here every weekday morning, and we hope you'll be with us when you get in your car or if you're at home. Text my device, play a podcast, Locked On Dodgers. And remember, you don't have to agree. You just have to listen. Have a good one.